And this is Jimmy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
hey. All right, great. So we're on with Aaron Kenny, and your main site, mobilehomeebook.com?
Yeah, that is the correct site.
Okay, good deal. And so I want to thank you for your time, first off. First off, as an introduction, I love your site, and if you're interested at all, I encourage all my listeners to and readers to go to his site, mobilehomeebook.com, and I can tell you as a banker and underwriter that I've underwritten a couple mobile home parks, and it's pretty fascinating business. Everyone that I've underwritten has been extremely profitable. They've been bigger parks, but I don't know anything about mobile home investing, and from your side, and so I can't wait to interview you. So before we get into the question and answers, can you just give us kind of an introduction and of like how you got started in this niche?
Let's see. It probably all started. I first got interested in real estate. I'd heard about tax liens, and I'd heard that in a personal finance class in college, and I started researching those for a few months, and I found the Creative Real Estate Online, a CRE Online, if you've ever heard of that real estate website. I'd gone on there, and that led me to some stuff on mobile homes, particularly Lonnie Scruggs. On his books on Deals on Wheels and Making Money in Mobile Homes, and that those books really got me interested in it. I would say definitely through the books, and then just kind of took it from there. First deal, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, go ahead. Go. What was your first deal?
Yeah, it was just a mobile home. I put ads on Craigslist and found this family who wanted me to put a mobile home onto their land, and I would finance it to them. And so we did that. It was just a mobile home, and it was a pretty terrible deal. actually, it's gone all right so far, but it's one of those that's a really tough business model because, you know, you're moving a home onto land that you don't own. So if the buyer or renter would stop paying you, you'd kind of be stuck with the home on somebody else's land, and, you know, you'd have to spend, you know, $5,000 or whatever to have it moved. So anyway, that was a pretty tough deal, but actually the buyer is still paying on it, so it may turn out to be profitable after all, but I don't know. We'll still see on that one. But anyway, it's a good learning experience anyway. So.
Yeah, I like the candor. He's like, everybody, that's a big red flag for me, is that people just talk about their success stories. It's like, that's not reality. I mean, like, Donald Trump has filed bankruptcy. I mean, even Warren Buffett makes mistakes. I mean, he talks about, so, yeah, that's great.
Absolutely. Yeah, I apologize for stuttering so much, but, I agree with you completely. You know, mistakes are... Stakes are, you know, really where you learn the most from, where you grow the most. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know, as long as they don't cripple you, you know, they're just little mistakes here and there. You definitely get a lot better. So.
Yeah, and man, we're so fortunate. Real estate is one of those vehicles where a lot of times, you know, if it's a mistake, it turns out as like an okay investment instead of a great investment. Just like you were saying, you did everything wrong with that investment and they're still paying. It's still, I mean, you might come out break even or something. So that's not that bad a downside when you really look at it.
I kind of looked at it as, you know, I'm paying for my education, you know, with that deal. So, you know, if I could break even on that, then that's not too bad as much as I learned from it. So.
Okay. Now, so fast forward a lot of deals, and what are you looking for now, and what do you recommend, you know, what do you recommend for people to focus on?
Yeah, in our business, we are buying mobile homes with the land. So they're pretty much just like your typical side built home. They could be, you know, in a neighborhood or, you know, out on, you know, in a rural part area where they have several acres, but it, you know, they're not in a mobile home park. It's not just a mobile home. It's both the home and the land. And, you know, we're looking to buy at a certain price point. Our range is we're looking to buy the home and fix it up for $20,000 is what we shoot for, which we then hope to sell on a rent-to-own at $600 a month is what we go for. So that those are our numbers. Again, that's just our area. You know, you kind of have to change it depending on, you know, what area you live in. You know, if homes go for a lot more, I'm sure they'd probably rent out for more too. So you kind of have to make it to where the numbers work in your favor. But,
okay.
Yeah, that's kind of the main thing. You know, and just kind of alongside with the homes, we look for homes that are 90s models or newer. You know, we've kind of found the less money we put into repairs, the better. If you buy a really cheap home but have to put in a good bit of money in repairs, most of the time you're better off just paying that premium on a little bit nicer home.
Gotcha.
But anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Are there any, like, any brands to watch out for, like with mobile home investing? Clayton Homes, which is a good one, right? Berkshire Hathaway owns them, so.
Yeah, honestly, I haven't really dealt with the dealers very much.
Okay,
all
right.
Yeah, I mean, we have some used mobile home dealers in town, but they tend to be very high on price you know, they're really not worth it. You know, if you pop on Craigslist and, I mean, you can easily make a much better deal on Craigslist without even much negotiating. So,
yeah.
The dealers make it tough, and the new model homes are even worse just because mobile homes appreciate the way that they do. You're putting a ton of money into new homes, and, you know, that you'd never really get it out. So,
yeah.
That's definitely a strategy that I could recommend for an investor or for a homeowner either. So
okay.
I definitely can't recommend the new ones, but,
what about financing? Like what kind of financing do you recommend for this?
Yeah. We have used personal lines of credit for all of our financing to date. Well, let's just say all, we've used one seller financing and we assumed a bank loan on another one, but anyway, the rest have been all personal lines of credit between my dad and I. That's just simply where you go into a bank and just ask for a personal line of credit. A lot of banks, especially your bigger banks, will go, you know, somewhere between $10,000 and $50,000 per line of credit. And you're typically looking at interest rates, you know, around 8%, you know, a little bit higher than that. That's what we've used. We've struggled to find bank financing. Two different occasions, I've called 40 different banks.
Yeah.
In the area between the big banks and the small local banks, and everybody said no to financing these mobile homes with land to investors. Right now I am working with a credit union in my area, and they've given us the acceptance on a loan, depending on the appraisal. So that actually may be a route to go on these credit unions. But, I haven't seen very much bank financing at all for these types of properties. It's kind of one of those things. It's a good and bad thing for the investor. You know, the bad being obviously it's harder for you to find a loan, but the good is it's harder for everybody to find a loan. So most people are going to give up.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you can – if you can be persistent and overcome these obstacles, you can, you know, you'll find at the top there's definitely a lot less competition. So if you can just kind of break through, I guess.
Well, that's what I, I like that you're focusing on a niche, you know, because I think that's just incredibly important because, you know, I'm sure in, you know, South Carolina, you know, where you're at, it's just, you know, there's real estate investors everywhere, you know, so, but if you thought, if, you know, how many of them are just solely focused on mobile home investing, it's like, well, probably only a handful. So right off the top, you eliminate the vast majority of your competitors. And then the other thing that I like about your strategy is that you're right. It's a double-edged sword. Like, yes, it's bad that you have the – I mean, banks are just – they hate financing anything with the word mobile home or, you know, temporary. I mean, but the good thing is that, again, eliminates your competition. So other guy in Lexington that I was talking to, he, you know, Lexington, Kentucky, there's thousands of real estate investors, but like, he focuses just on the ones that have foundation problems. It's like, well, he's the only buyer, you know, in Lexington, Kentucky. So I love that you have a niche, and you're a double-edged sword on the financing, but I think that's actually what I recommend. Is go, you know, you just have to think out of the box, which is exactly what you've done, is you've utilized, you know, a personal line of credit. You could also, you know, if you have other kind of investment properties or something else, use that as collateral to get a secured line of credit, or, you know, there's multiple ways to get a line of credit for this type of investing. What are the price points you're looking at on like a small deal, like a wholesaler just contacted me yesterday, actually, about 5 mobile homes for like $20,000 with the land. What kind of, and I've seen in the $1 million for the, you know, full parks. What kind of price points are you seeing in South Carolina?
Yeah, we're focusing on that $20,000 price range.
Yeah.
You know, we've even kind of narrowed. We kind of buy all around a couple counties, and we've kind of focused even more on a couple towns that, you know, have really good schools, and, you know, those homes sell, you know, quite a bit faster. But yeah, the $20,000 price range, and that, you know, including fix up, is what we're focused on. And that's, you know, it's one of those things that for us, we know that we could go a little bit higher. We could kind of cheat a little on the numbers and we'd still make money, but we haven't really had to. And it's been nice kind of setting that number and, you know, just focusing on the deals that meet that criteria. So,
are you flipping these or are you renting them out?
We're selling them on a rent to own. We call it a rent to own. Honestly, yep. It's more like a land contract.
Yeah.
And you know, it's kind of a difficult strategy to describe. You know, just over the phone. But anyway,
okay.
We're basically selling off the mobile home first, and at this time they're renting the land, and then once they've paid off the mobile home, they then have the option to buy the land. We do that for a few different reasons. I don't mean to pitch my product, but I kind of mentioned it a little bit more in my book.
Go ahead.
You know, about why we do it and that kind of stuff. So
liability right off the top when you do that, right? Of the, like, you know, any kind of like repairs to the mobile home when you sell it.
That's absolutely. That's the main reason that got me into this rent-to-own stuff is just, you know, not having to deal with the maintenance headaches you know, when you have tenants in there. So,
Great. What kind of, like, rate and term are you doing the owner financing, and what kind of, like, down payment are you requiring?
Yeah, we're looking at – we're typically around $1,500 down and $600 a month. And we've, you know, tested that with, you know, going $2,000 down and, you know, going a little less. But we've kind of found that that's worked well in our market as a $1,500 and $600 per month. That puts us, you know, for 3-bedroom, that's still, you know, that's pretty much what people would be renting for anyway. And so they're pretty happy with it. And then at that point, let's see, most of our terms for the mobile homes tend to be between 6 and 10 years on payoff, and then the land payoff will be about 5 years. So total payoff is about 11 to 15 years. And interest rates they fluctuate. I kind of mess with them to get the numbers, you know, the way I want them. But anyway, somewhere between 8 and 10% is pretty typical for us. You know,
and
we also,
and that's basically on like a 15 year. Can you walk me through the amortization schedule again for the actual part, for the actual home, and then the land? What was that again?
Yeah, what were you talking about, how long it was for? Or?
Yeah, yeah.
For the home, it's for 6 to 10 years is pretty typical. And again, that just depends on the condition of the home and,
sure,
and all that kind of stuff, what price we set it at. And at this time, their $600 payment is normally cut in half, where $300 is being applied towards the monthly payment of the home. And $300 is going towards what we call rent. And that's the part where they're renting the land from us. And it allows us to increase our use on the homes.
Sure.
And we're at the same time, we're still paying property taxes on both the home and the land, as well as the insurance on the home.
Yeah.
So that's our pitch to our buyers is, hey, this lot rent is covering, you know, our insurance and our taxes on it. So
yeah,
which is true, but you know, it definitely plays a big part in increasing our yields as well. So
sure. So and I should ask this at the start. What are you selling it, like you bought for 20, what are you selling it to them for?
Right. The home's price tends to be around 20, maybe
okay,
25, and the land price tends to be around 18. It will set it higher if there's more than 2 acres involved.
Yeah.
But that tends to be pretty typical. And then if you look at, you know, our total numbers, what we hope to collect over that time, if the tenant buyer does pay it off, you know, we're looking to collect around $90,000 for everything. So,
yeah, that's what I'm like running the numbers and like in my head. I'm like, man, it's awesome. So you're like doubling your money, plus you're making about $400 in cash flow, free cash flow a month.
Right.
So that's a good deal. What kind of switching gears? One thing that I see, it is really hard to find them for
yeah,
sale with the land. Have you looked at building a park? So I would like for you to answer that question. Have you looked into building one out? And then have you also, like, what are your strategies for finding these for sale?
Okay, I'll tackle the building the park first. We have not really considered that very much. The reason being, this main county that we focus in, they haven't approved a mobile home park to be, like, they haven't approved a new one to be developed since the 80s, I believe. So, you know, you're looking at 25 years that's been since they've approved the building of a new park. So that's one. You know, second thing is just the hassle of it. You know, there's so much low-hanging fruit, you know, just even off the MLS, and this kind of answers the second part, but we've bought the majority of our properties just off the MLS with the home and the land together. So it's just kind of, there's just a lot of low-hanging fruit. And I think, you know, if it does tighten up, we've considered, you know, just buying a piece of land and then moving a home to it, but right now we haven't had to do it. So, and you know, it's pretty big hassle putting utilities onto a raw piece of land, you know, as well as, you know, getting permits involved. I just lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
Asked multiple questions at once there. So that was my fault.
No problem.
Well, I'm such a big advocate of it. I'm sure people are going to be like, well, why don't you one? But I've looked, and they're just very hard to come across. But I love that you talked about one of the big benefits. Another big benefits of mobile home parks is they're not getting approved, so that limits supply, which, you
absolutely
know, and demand is still there. I mean, I have a friend who owns a 180-room hotel, and it's in a rougher area, and, you know, it's an affordable housing product. You know, that's what it is. And, yeah, so that limiting supply, I mean, that's like a typical Warren Buffett investment. You know, it's like you've got limited supply, you've got limited competition because of the financing problems that you talked about. So it's got a lot of good dynamics there, and the demand is pretty constant. So,
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. You know, especially, you know, looking at these mobile home parks, for a time last year, I really wanted to get into them. But, you know, the ones that have been on the market or just sending out direct mail and asking people, you know, if they would sell their parks, and they're requesting such a premium for their parks. They're tough to buy. And, you know, we look at, you know, these little mobile homes with land as, you know, really a direct competitor to these mobile home parks, because most people, you know, would rather, you know, have their own little land than live inside of a park. So we kind of look at it as, you know, we have a better product, and, you know, until, you know, the park, you know, until the price would move down to a point that would entice us to buy one, you know, it definitely seems like we have an advantage over them, you know, at least in our area. So
sure. Okay. Well, hey, I don't want to take up too much of your time. I appreciate it. I'm focused on the finance side of all real estate investments. So I really I like your strategy, and I like how we talked about it both from the buyer and the seller side. So again, this is Aaron here with mobilehomeebook.com. I'll link it up in the notes, of course. Do you have anything else to add, Aaron?
I think that's it. Thanks for having me on, Jimmy.
Yeah. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.